Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And not about me in the slightest. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're currently in a series called What Can the Bible Do For You? And we're exploring the Bible with fresh eyes, engaging with its timeless truths, and applying the wisdom that we find there to our everyday life. And today I want to explore the theme of what can the Bible do for you? Well, I can show you spiritual riches. It can show you spiritual riches. So if you have your Bible handy, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Either your paper Bible or your phone or your iPad or whatever it is you use, it will also be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 4. It says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech, and with all knowledge. God loves confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you know, one of my favourite programs on TV ever has been Only Fools and Horses. I absolutely love that program, and no matter how many times I watch it over and over again, it always makes me laugh. And there's a reason why that program frequently tops the charts of the most popular UK TV sitcoms. And of course, it follows the antics of the hapless brothers, Dale and Rodney Trotter, the hapless market traders who live by the mantra, this time next year, this time next year we'll be millionaires. There's a certain age dynamic in here that recognises that programme. This time next year, we'll be millionaires. And it wasn't until the very final Christmas special that was shown some 15 years after the first episode, that they discovered a priceless Harrison watch in their garage that they had owned all along. And that watch eventually would sell, if you remember that episode where they both fainted in the auction house, that it sold for £6.2 million. They had been millionaires all along. They had been millionaires for the whole time. But if only they had discovered the wealth that they already owned, they wouldn't have lived that impoverished and poor lives that they did. Instead, they would have been wealthy, they'd have been enriched and supplied throughout the rest of their lives. And the generations which would follow after them, they would have had that already. They had the watch in their possession. And I think that many of us as Christians are living the exact same way. We're not living spiritually wealthy lives because we have failed to understand that God has made all of us spiritually rich in Jesus. We are missing out on so much when we fail to understand that we have been made spiritually rich. Scripture teaches us that God has given us a wealth and abundance of spiritual riches and resources to enable us to live the Christian life to its fullness, to live lives that are spiritually wealthy, all for his glory. But oftentimes we are completely unaware that God has even done this for us. Most of the time we're struggling along in our Christian lives. Our devotional life, our evangelism, our discipleship, our church involvement would be more appropriately called poor rather than rich. But the truth is, God has made each and every single one of us spiritually rich at that moment we gave our life to Jesus. He has given us everything that we need to live a spiritually wealthy life. He gives us everything we need to be rich in pleasing him, rich in glorifying him, wealthy in magnifying his name. And the only problem is, though, that we often fail to discover the spiritual riches that God has given to us, and therefore we already have in our possession. And spiritual riches, if you don't know, are good things which God has given to us through Jesus, which either affect who we are as a person or affect how we live our lives. There are spiritual riches pertaining to who we are, to do with our identity, and you can see that in Ephesians chapter 1. Spiritual riches pertaining to how we live, things which God gives us to obey him in this life. You see that in 2 Peter chapter 1. And Paul speaks of the spiritual riches which concern our identity in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then after that, in verses 4 through to 14 in Ephesians 1, Paul goes on to mention several of these spiritual blessings in relation to who we are in Jesus. We are chosen by God, we're adopted, we're blessed, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're recipients of grace, and we are sealed for eternity. That's what we are. The Apostle Peter best captures the idea of spiritual riches which concern our living in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 when he says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." We have all spiritual riches that we need to live obediently for God. And those riches are precisely Paul's concern in the passage that we just read to the Corinthians. And it's clear that Paul wants the Corinthians to understand that God has made them spiritually rich at that moment they gave their life to Jesus. And after describing the fundamental truths to which they need to return in the first three verses, he now calls them to understand yet another fundamental truth, that they are spiritually rich. And the Corinthians certainly thought themselves to be rich, but in the total wrong sense of the word. They considered themselves to be self-sufficient, to be rich in worldly things, and they definitely were. They were wealthy. However, though, they were wealthy in sin, they were wealthy in disorganization, they were wealthy in division, they were wealthy in strife, and they were wealthy in disunity. They were wealthy in sin and poor in obedience. Paul calls them to understand and comprehend once again how God has made them spiritually rich. And we, like them, need to understand that we have been made spiritually rich at that exact moment of salvation. What can the Bible do for you? It can show you spiritual riches. And in the verses that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul shows us three things here. He shows us, firstly, the source of those spiritual riches. Secondly, he shows us the content, what it actually is, of those spiritual riches. And then thirdly, he's shown us where the proof comes from that we actually have those spiritual riches. So let's look at each one in turn. Firstly, the source of our spiritual riches. See, everything has a source. Everything has an origin where it begins. So this question is, where does every single spiritual blessing come from? How have we been made so rich in spiritual things? And according to Paul, the answer is simple. The answer is the grace of God. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 1 says, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." See, every single spiritual blessing that we have and every single spiritual possession we own is owned completely to the grace, is owned completely to the kindness of God. Paul first wants the Corinthians to understand that the grace of God is the source of all their spiritual riches and blessings, and that also that this very grace has been given to them as well. The grace of God is where it all begins. It is the fountain from which every other gift of God then flows to us. The grace of God to us is like a waterfall where a great amount of valuable treasures are dropped day by day. So where do spiritual riches and blessings come from? Firstly, observe here that Paul gives continual thanks to God for the Corinthians. Paul begins this passage by expressing thanksgiving to God. And this is his usual pattern when you read his letters. He does that in almost every single letter that he writes. He gives thanks for the people that he's writing to. And it's really a matter of perspective. See, before Paul deals with the problems and the churches that he's writing to, and before he gives them instructions, he always thanks God for them. They are people just like he is, no matter the problems or the issues. And so Paul gives thanks for at least that reason. He always says, "I thank my God for you." See, thankfulness and gratitude is something that he gives to someone. And who's that someone? Paul gives thanks to God. He does not give thanks to the Corinthians. He's given thanks to God every time. Notice also the frequency. He's saying he's continually thankful to God for them. And then you read the whole entirety of the book of Corinthians and you think, how can Paul possibly thankful for such a twisted church that is getting things so wrong? The whole letter is a correctional epistle that is written to a church that was in urgent and dire need of correction. They were divided over leaders. They were sexually immoral. They were misunderstanding marriage. They were mistreating the Lord's Supper. They were failing to comprehend the fullness of the resurrection and a whole host of other problems. What reason could there be in Paul's mind to give thanks to God for that Corinthian church? See, Paul gives thanks to God for the Corinthians, not because that they're living right or because of anything that they've done, but because of what God has done. That's why he's given thanks, because of what God has done. And what has God done? He has given them the saving and sustaining grace of God. This grace has been given to them and they have received it. And also note that it's this grace of God because of Jesus, for Jesus and through Jesus, this grace is in Christ. Since there's nothing but time separating the Corinthians from us, we can be sure that this grace has also been given to us. We too have received the grace of God in Christ because he has made it accessible to you and accessible to me. The Spirit enables us to receive daily to obey God, and it is because of Jesus and for the purpose of serving Jesus that we have been given this grace. Paul is thankful because the grace of God has been given to us. And the word grace here in the original Greek means the favor and kindness of God. It's the undeserving kindness of God towards us. It's the outpouring of the mercy of God through Jesus to the undeserving people like us, like you and me. Paul describes the grace of God not as some abstract object which sits by itself, but as actually something that God actually does. That's how he's describing it. For Paul, the grace of God does things in the lives of Christians. The grace of God saves, the grace of God sustains, and the grace of God secures. All of these things in the passage are past tense, implying that Paul is talking about a past act of God's grace, which would be their salvation. The grace of God has been given. It is through that grace that the Corinthians were then enriched. So God gave the grace and the Corinthians were enriched. And proof of that enrichment is that they received the gospel. The testimony about Jesus was confirmed among them. See, when you are saved from the penalty of sin and regenerated to a new life, it is because God saves you by his grace. The grace of God sustains. It is also by this same grace that you continue to be saved. God saves you daily from the presence and power of sin, all by his grace working in your life. It is a kind act of God to give you his Spirit to be obedient to him and overcome sin in your life. That is what the Bible calls sanctification, the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. The grace of God ensures and enables your obedience as you continue to live your life as a Christian. And you've been given everything you need through his grace as you're waiting on the next big event in redemptive history. Verse 7 says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, i.e. the second coming of Jesus. The grace of God secures. The grace of God secures you for eternity. It is by this same grace that you are saved, sustained, and secured for an eternity with God. Paul says that Jesus will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's verse 8. He will keep you to the end. You will persevere because of the grace of God. Knowing that the grace of God exists is enough reason to get excited and praise God. But even more, Paul says that we have been given this grace. The grace of God is the source of all spiritual riches and blessing. And even this grace itself has been given to us as believers in Jesus. Paul is recalling the Corinthians conversion. He's recalling their regeneration when they came to faith in Jesus. And how was this grace given? The grace was given in Christ Jesus. The way in which God's grace is both expressed and received is always in Jesus. And God's given up his son, Jesus, as the atonement for our sins. He gives us his grace. By giving us Jesus, he has given us his grace. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that they have been given the very source of all spiritual riches and the very source of all spiritual blessings. And we need to understand this as well. This means that we have everything we need to be pleasing to God. Do you believe that today, church? We have everything we need because of the grace of Jesus. Are you rejoicing in that truth today? Every time you do something good for God, remember that it's because you have been given the source of everything that is good, God's grace. It's all because of his grace. The source of spiritual riches, the grace of God, which we have been given in Jesus. So we've looked at the source of spiritual riches from verse 4, all about the grace of God. Secondly, what is the actual content? What does spiritual riches look like from verse 5? See, if the grace of God is how we obtained spiritual riches, then what spiritual riches have we actually obtained in our lives? In what ways have we been spiritually enriched? Well, in verse 5, Paul explains this. He says that we have been spiritually enriched in every way, but specifically in our speech and knowledge. And he unfolds here exactly what the ways of grace of God has been manifested among the Corinthian believers. And this is fitting because the grace of God does much more than just simply save us. The grace of God supplies us for everything that we need in life also. You're not just saved, regenerated, and given new life at conversion. You're also supplied with spiritual riches to live the Christian life. God gives you in various ways all to bring him glory. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 4 and 5 says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. See, the Corinthians were enriched in general ways and specific ways to be obedient to God, and that is also true of us as well. See, the first way that we and the Corinthians have been made spiritually rich is just generally. Generally, Paul says you have been enriched in every way, and that in there is denoting a general enrichment. We have been enriched in every single way. There isn't one area of our life that God has left us in spiritual poverty, not one. So generally speaking, we have all that we need to be obedient to God. We have been made rich in Christ. And the second way that we and the Corinthians have been made spiritually rich is specifically. And this is definitely something that the Corinthians misunderstood. Because Paul deals with the abuse and the misuse of spiritual gifts at length in this letter as you read on. Here, though, he notes two ways that the Corinthians have been specifically enriched. And Paul, I think, likely chose to point out these two gifts because they were precisely the cause of most of the issues that happened in that church as you read on in the book. They misunderstood and misapplied these gifts, resulting in problems, and Paul is calling them back here to understand the true purpose of these gifts. First, in their speaking, they were enriched. Why? Because they were able to prophesy, they were able to speak in tongues, and to do many other miraculous things through their words. But they clearly abused this gift, or Paul wouldn't have dealt with so much with it and clarifying its use and nature when you get to chapter 14 of the same book. Second, in their understanding, they were enriched. They were a wise people, discerning and able to understand great truths. They were able to tell the truth in all speech and to grasp and understand truth and knowledge. And we are similar. We too have been made spiritually rich in ways applicable to all and in ways that are only applicable to some. See, Paul speaks of those specific ways in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 at verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Let me tell you, there's no fuller life than a life full of spiritual wealth, where our life's greatest pursuit and being rich is being obedient to God. We often starve what could be a well-fed spiritual life, but too often we live as though we have nothing, when in reality we possess everything that really matters. We already possess it. And that is the center of this passage. This is the key thing that Paul wants the Corinthians and us to understand. That you have been made spiritually rich in Jesus, given everything you need to glorify God. Therefore, we have no excuses if we're living in spiritual poverty. If we have everything we need, but we live as though we're still in need, then what's the problem? Most of the time, it's because we're not accessing it or we're not even acknowledging it in our lives. We need to access the spiritual resources and riches that God has already given us. And we need to know that they actually exist and they're there available for us. So how do you know that you have the spiritual riches? Other than discovering it for yourself in the Bible by reading the Bible and applying it to your life. If you don't do that, you'll never realize that they're there. Find out from Scripture what kind of riches that you have in your life. See, ignoring what the Bible says about how you've been made spiritually wealthy, it's just like having millions in the bank and not even realizing it because you never ever look. That's what it's like. You have everything you need for obedience to God and joy in Jesus, but you may not know it because you never went to the Bible to see if you actually have it for yourself. Can I encourage you today, church? Rest in this promise. You don't come up with what it takes to be obedient to God. You just use what God has already given you and you find out more from Scripture. We need to understand that we have been made rich generally and we'll be made rich specifically. So the source of spiritual riches, God's grace. The content, some general, some specific. And then finally, the proof of spiritual riches from verse 6. See, the Corinthians, they would have had trouble believing that they were actually spiritually rich. They lived wealthy lives, but not spiritually wealthy lives. They were rich in sin and poor in obedience, as we said already. So is there any proof that we have been spiritually enriched? See, to eradicate any doubt in our minds, Paul presents the impenetrable, solid and concrete evidence that we and the Corinthians have been made spiritually enriched. What is the proof? Simple, the fact that we have believed in the gospel. That is the proof. That's all the proof that you need. The way that we can be absolutely sure that we have been made rich for obedience to God is to look back at that moment of salvation when you gave your life to Jesus. That is the starting point to receive everything that you need. If you have believed the gospel and trusted in Jesus, then you have been given spiritual riches. This is how we know that we've been spiritually enriched. Verses 46 again says, I give thanks to God for his grace given to you in Christ, namely in that you were enriched both generally and specifically, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. Paul is pointing out to them that if they're saved, then they're spiritually rich. It's as simple as that. If you're saved, you're spiritually rich. And that word testimony just means witness. This is a witness about Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the witness and testimony about him. The eyewitness account of who he is and what he's done. It's the gospel, it's the message of Jesus. This is what is meant by that phrase, the testimony about Christ. When you believe the gospel and you were saved, you believe the testimony or the witness about Jesus. That is what you're believing. And Paul in this passage is trying to get the Corinthians and us to understand that we have been made spiritually rich in Jesus. Paul is saying, you Corinthians act like spiritual paupers, living like God has withdrawn every single spiritual blessing rather than living spiritually rich. You believe it and it was confirmed among you. This testimony about Jesus was established among you. If you weren't made spiritually rich, you would never have believed the gospel in the first place. But because you believe the gospel and God doesn't leave you like you are, he has enriched you in every way to bring him glory to the maximum degree in our life. If you have believed the gospel, God has made you spiritually rich. Conversely though, if God has not made you spiritually rich, perhaps you haven't believed the gospel. We need to understand the proof of spiritual riches, our receiving of the gospel. If you're saved, then that's all the assurance you need to know that you have been spiritually enriched. Because that's what God does for Christians. That's his business. We have a wealthy father who says to us, son, daughter, everything I have is yours. Everything. And the band can come as we wrap this up. Let me tell you, if God has given us everything, but we have to go and take it. We have to take possession and realise it's actually there and take it. And the great Scottish Bible expositor Alexander McLaren wrote these words, and I love it. He says, "We may have as much of God as we want. Christ puts the key to the treasure chamber into our hand and bids us to take all that we want. See, if a man is admitted into the bullion vault of a bank and told to help himself, and he comes out with one penny in his hand, whose fault is it that he's poor? Whose fault is it that he's poor if he's been invited in and just takes one penny? Let me ask you today, church, if God has made us spiritually rich at that salvation moment, then whose fault is it if we're living spiritually poor? Certainly not God's. He's opened the doors, told us to come in and take what we want. We can have as much of him as we want in our life. The source of all of our spiritual riches is the grace of God. And we have also received this grace. If you have trusted in Jesus, you have received this grace. The content of our spiritual riches consists in being made spiritually rich, both generally and specifically. Let me ask you, are you walking in the fullness of those spiritual riches in your life today? Are you holding back? Are you scared to step into all that he has for you today? Are you accessing the spiritual riches that you already have, such as the Holy Spirit, such as prayer, such as scripture? Like, I was speaking to someone this week, and we're just reiterating the point, like, don't tell me God's not speaking if your Bible's shut every single day. Like, don't say that. Are you acknowledging the many other spiritual riches yet to be discovered in the Bible? See, additionally, we have absolute proof that at that moment of our conversion, those spiritual riches were secured to us. The question is, though, do you believe it? The question is, are you walking in the fullness of all of those riches that God makes available to you? Let me remind you, no matter how mature you think you are in your Christian faith, God always has more. He always has more, and he always wants to take you to deeper places. He always has something new and fresh for you each and every single day. But if you're not walking into that and receiving that, it's not God's fault. It's all on us. He's given it to us. Right at that moment of salvation, it does not matter if you've just been saved for 5 minutes or 50 years, the access is there for you to receive the fullness of those spiritual riches in your life. I hope today that we all realize that by God's grace in Jesus, that we understand that we have truly been made spiritually rich. Like Del Boy and his watch, it's been there all along. It's been there all along. But are you walking in it? Are you receiving it? Are you acknowledging that he wants to give you all that you need to serve God each and every single day? That he wants to take you above and beyond where you are right now? That he wants to do even more in your life right now? Like, being saved is amazing. That's the starting point. Like, some people think we get saved and hallelujah, I've made it, that's the end. That is the starting point. That is just the start of the journey. God wants to do so much more. In and through you as an individual, you have been made spiritually rich. Are you walking in the fullness of that today?
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.